The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 94 of Busy Kids Love Music, a podcast for music-loving families. I'm Carly Seifert, the creator of Busy Kids Do Piano, and I'm delighted to have you joining me today. This month, the month of April, is Broadway month here in the Busy Kids Do Piano community. So we've been doing some fun things this month that center on learning about all things Broadway. And going with that theme, today on the podcast, we're going to learn what it means to be a Broadway show and a little bit about the history of Broadway.
Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the gang at 42nd Street that I will soon be there.
So let's start by talking about what we mean when we talk about Broadway theater. Together with London's West End, Broadway is generally considered the highest form of theater entertainment in the English-speaking world. And while a Broadway show is typically a play or a musical, sometimes there will be concerts or other special live events that are part of Broadway too. So Broadway is a 13-mile street that runs through two of New York City's five boroughs, Manhattan and the Bronx. And the strict technical definition of Broadway theater is any venue with 500 seats or more located along Broadway within New York City's theater district, which technically includes 41 theaters that are Broadway venues. The word Broadway evolved to mean something more than just this specific famous street in New York City. So let's dig into the history of how that happened. The first theaters in New York City were built in the 1700s and often performed plays by William Shakespeare. Broadway emerged as an important theater district in the mid-1800s, and the area developed into a fashionable central hub for entertainers. The show Black Crook in 1866 is considered to be the first Broadway musical. It was 5.5 hours long, and it ran for 474 performances, which was a record for this time. Musicals became popular, and in the mid-1890s and early 1900s, variety shows and vaudeville performances were performed. These types of shows had a combination of acts, so it would include some singing and dancing, as well as other things like jugglers, trained animals, magicians, comedians. White light bulbs on the theater signs advertising the shows created a street that was brilliantly lit and came to be nicknamed the Great White Way. New playwrights debuted plays on Broadway in the 1920s, and classical revivals of Shakespeare's work were popular as well. The Great Depression and the competition with motion pictures slowed the growth of Broadway, but as they say in the theater, the show must go on. And go on it did. As the economy rebounded from the Depression in the 1930s, so did Broadway performances, and writers began to focus on tying together all aspects of musical theater. So now they would create a show with an interesting plot, with songs and dances that would captivate the viewer's interest while also being important to furthering and understanding the plot of the story. Shows such as Anything Goes by Cole Porter and Oklahoma by the famous duo Rodgers and Hammerstein became hits and enjoyed long theatrical runs. Plays and musicals also began to address current events. There were many writers and composers that emerged during this time, which was considered to be the golden age of Broadway. And every season had new stage musicals and songs that topped the charts. Many musicals from this time are still performed today. Think of shows such as Sound of Music or West Side Story that have been made into films and continue to enjoy stage performances and revivals throughout the world. Things changed again for Broadway in the late 1960s. The area of Broadway declined and became unsafe, and the number of shows produced began to drop, with only 36 theaters left of the 70 to 80 theaters that had existed back in the 1920s. In early 1982, Joe Papp, a producer and director, led the Save the Theaters campaign. He attempted to pass legislation that would designate Broadway and Times Square Theater District as a National Historic Site and designate the theater buildings themselves as landmarks. And while not all of these bills passed, the group did draw national attention to the issues plaguing Broadway and help provide resources to support actors and technical crews. Around this time, the phenomenon of the mega musical began with the production of the 1981 musical composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber, Cats. Now, mega musicals are musicals on a grand scale. The scores are grand, the set and the costumes are extravagant, the cast is large, and there tends to be complex technology involved with the stagecraft. These musicals have huge budgets and are marketed heavily. Les Miserables, Phantom of the Opera, and Miss Saigon are examples from the 1980s of mega musicals. And musicals such as Lion King and Wicked are examples that have been created and are still performed on Broadway currently at the time of this recording. Disney has brought many of its movies to the stage since debuting Beauty and the Beast on Broadway in 1994. It signed a 49-year lease for the New Amsterdam Theater on Broadway and then extensively renovated the venue before premiering The Lion King in 1997. This theater building was in such bad shape that there were mushrooms growing on the ground, so Disney's investment gave the theater a whole new life. And Disney musicals on Broadway have helped grow audiences and press and people and attention from around the world who are interested in Broadway, and millions of tourists and locals have attended performances of Disney theatrical productions. It also helped lead to an era of a safer and cleaned up Times Square. I have a special bonus for you if you head to this episode's show notes at busykidsdopiano.com/podcast/94, where I'm sharing all my piano lesson tutorials that feature songs from Broadway musicals, many of which are also Disney movies. And again, you'll find the list of those tutorials at busykidsdopiano.com/podcast/94. Now, if you've ever seen a Broadway musical, perhaps on Broadway itself, if you're really lucky, or maybe you've seen a touring show that originated on Broadway, or maybe a Broadway performance that was filmed, you might know that there are a lot of people involved in the production of a Broadway musical. There's the production team, which oversees all the business of putting on a musical. There's the director, who is in charge of what happens on stage. There's the set designers who design and build the sets that you see, and the choreographers who design and create the dances. And then, of course, there's all the actors on stage and the lighting designers who make sure that we can see the actors and sound designers who make sure that we can hear the actors. So there's so many important roles involved in making a show. And in the next episode of Busy Kids Love Music, we're going to learn more about the role of a music director. Music director conducts the rehearsals and performances of a Broadway show. And I'm going to sit down with Meg Zervoulis, who is a music director on Broadway, and let her tell you more about what the role of a music director involves and some of the challenges and excitement that are part of her job. So I hope you'll join me for that episode, which will air in 2 weeks as our Broadway month continues. Thanks so much for joining me today, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon. Bye for now.